This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Michael C. Bright, who is the president and CEO of the YMCA of Newark, is a member of the Bucknell Athletics Hall of Fame. Bright set numerous school and conference records as a member of the Bison basketball team, including most three-pointers made in a career with 206 and most steals in a career. He was the Patriot League Player of the Year as a senior in 1993. Michael Bright also had the opportunity to play in the NBA Preseason Rookie League as a member of the Charlotte Hornets and was drafted in the third round of the Continental Basketball Association by the Rockford Lightning. After a brief stay in the CBA, the 2005 inductee of the Bucknell Athletics Hall of Fame played in Hong Kong's Professional Basketball Association as a member of Sea Power. And now Michael and his wife are proud parents of three sons who have already made their mark in the sports world. I recently sat down with Michael and his sons for this edition of Sports Jam. The pride of Bucknell University, Michael C. Bright, and his sons, Devin, Michael Jr., and Marlon, all joining us for this edition of Sports Jam. Great to see you, gentlemen, and thanks for being here.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with Dad, obviously, first. Michael, thank you for bringing your sons in. This is a really special time here on Sports Jam to have a real family sit down with us and talk about the importance of sports in your family's life. When was the first time you knew that you were an athlete, Michael?
Oh, wow. I would have to be probably 11 or 12 years old, playing Little League in Manesson, Pennsylvania. I was fortunate to be the starting quarterback for the Little League team, and we went on to the playoffs and won the championship. And I think in the All-Star game, I had 5 touchdowns as the starting quarterback. So at that point, I kind of knew I can play a little bit of ball.
Play a little ball indeed. On the basketball court, he was extremely impressive as co-captain of the Pennsylvania Class A Boys State Championship team. You led the Greyhounds to a 24-5 record while recording Manesson's first state championship. What do you remember from those days?
One thing is we were a pretty talented team. We were kind of blessed for a small school to have so much talent at one time. We were the only Class A school to ever be invited to Las Vegas to play in the Las Vegas Shootout. And although we did not win a game, we were 0-3. The first game we lost by 1, second game we lost by 3. And we're very, you know, competitive against teams that were nationally ranked. And that was something that was very formidable for a school our size. And, you know, that was just put Manesson on the map, per se. And we came back and that let us know we had a chance to win the states, and we went all the way through and did something that was never done before.
Now, you have your three sons here with us on Sports Jam. Did your dad teach you how to play sports?
My dad was, he was always in my life, never missed a game. My mother raised me, but I would say that my father was there, for important occasions. And although if he was still living, he would say he never really taught me how to play ball, but he taught me how to rebound. He was a rebounder. He was the Dennis Rodman of his day. And sports, I think I was taught by the streets. Back then, you played outside all day and you found ways to engage with your friends and stuff, and it was always around sports for us. So we played, year round, football, basketball, baseball, and the streets taught me how to play basketball.
So you have your oldest son here, Devin. Devin, now you were a two-time All-County player at DePaul Catholic and top scorer in the state in New Jersey in 2015 and currently taking classes at Essex County College, right?
Yep.
Tell us about what Dad told you. You were the first one to come around, so you were like the guinea pig, right? He had to. Did he force sports on you?
No, he never forced sports on us. He always let, if we loved doing it, he was going to support us through it.
What do you think he taught you most?
Through basketball or?
Basketball, football, anything, any kind of sports that you played.
A lot of my game, he helped me develop. He was always giving me advice. He was my biggest critic and my biggest fan.
You know, all of you, I think, have had some experience with midget football or Mighty Mites and things like that. You know, there's a big controversy right now when people should start playing football and because of the whole concussions and things like that. Devin, what would you like to say to parents and who are thinking about getting their young kids involved? Was it a positive experience for you?
Yeah, it was definitely a positive experience. I think now there's a lot of injuries happening and, you know, they're trying to be more safe about it. And I think it should be more safe. The players should be more safe.
Michael Jr., your thoughts on that?
As a current player of the game, I really don't see an issue with it, only because I go through it every day. I mean, I believe they should wait till kids get older. You know, I hear stories about 4 and 5-year-olds playing a contact sport like this. I think they should wait a little longer, but otherwise, no biggie with it.
And is this the same Michael Jr., Michael Seabright Jr., who played for Shabazz in All-State selection, North-South Phil Sims All-Star game? Is that the same guy we're hearing right now?
Yes.
What do you love about football?
Just being able to go out and play with a bunch of guys that all have the same ideas and goals in mind is just a win. I mean, it's definitely a team sport. Without, you know, relying on the person next to you, you know, you really can't achieve much.
Yeah, he says that right now, but Doug, he likes to go and hit people.
And tell us about what you feel maybe Michael Jr. has been your best football game. Take us inside the huddle. Take us on the field.
Well, I think my best football game was one of the games where my stats were the lowest. And to me, it has to be Pop Warner, Eastern Regional playoff game, semifinals against Brick City at a Weekway Field. It was one of those games where I was getting shut down by these oversized tackles, and I legit only had one play, and that was the play to win the game. And quarterback drops back, throws the ball. I tip it in the air, catch it, and then run it into the end zone for the win. And to me, it shows me, like, even if I'm not playing my A game or I'm not the best on the field, as long as I continue to play hard, I'm going to get my moment. And I got it, and I brought my team to Florida for it.
I find it interesting that you went all the way back to when you were really young to have a game that was significant to you. That's interesting. So let's find out from the youngest, Marlon. Do you like always having to be the youngest, Marlon, or is it a pain?
It's not really a pain. These guys just bully me in football, but they do help me out. They will criticize me, but they criticize me in a way to fix it.
So it's constructive criticism.
Yes.
All right, you're involved with a championship team that you won the Eastern Region. You headed to the 2019 National Championships as part of the Brick City Lions. What position do you play?
I play offensive line and defensive line.
So as an offensive lineman and defensive lineman, you're learning right away, Marlon, that you don't always get the credit, do you?
No.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, It makes me feel frustrated because they're not giving the linemen credit. The line, without the line, you can't do anything. How the quarterback's going to get the ball? You have to snap. How is the lineman that's playing on the other team supposed to get pressure? How is the quarterback supposed to get pressured? You need the D lineman for that. So, yeah.
So when you see the NFL put people into the Pro Football Hall of Fame and you know they're a center or a guard or a tackle, does that make you happy because they're being recognized and realize that you can't have 1,000-yard rushers and you can't have Hall of Fame backs without a great line?
Yes, that makes me happy.
And what did Dad tell you about playing the line?
He says, fight hard. Don't give up.
Are you lifting weights already?
Yes.
You probably can bench press more than I can right now, right? Probably.
Probably not.
Well, thank you for saying that, at least. Dad, when you hear your sons talk, obviously you take great pride. And I know on Facebook we follow a lot. I do. I follow a lot of the careers of your kids. They give you a great sense of satisfaction, don't they?
Oh, yes. I'm very proud of my sons. you know, one of the things that parents and who are probably in the same situation I'm in, you know, we see it all, the good days, the bad days. But, it, you know, at the end of the day, it's about them having exposure and experience so that they can find themselves and find out what they love and like. Like my oldest son, you know, probably could have been a really good football player, but found himself really loving basketball, and that's where he found his energy and his strength. My middle son, who's probably got the height, most of the height from the kids, you know, probably think it'd be basketball, but he loves football. So, you know, just really seeing them, you know, grow and develop and have good days and bad days, and that's life. And I keep trying to tell them, you know, sports is the same thing as life. It's a game, and you got to be able to play in it. There's rules to life. There's rules to the game. And as long as you try, we only have one rule that we all share. If you start something, you have to finish. There's no quitting. My oldest son stopped playing football in ninth grade. That's fine. He stopped after the season was over. I won't never let them. They can never quit when they start the program. Once it's over, if you don't like it, that's your call. And I keep telling them, you know, don't be like me. You can't be like me. I want you to be better than me. And I don't ever want them to think they have to perform like I did in high school or college, because you know, everything is different. But I do want them to try and get exposure. That's the biggest thing.
How big were you when you went to Thame Prep School, Fort Union Military Academy?
Oh, gosh. Well, I had a growth spur. I was young. When I was in ninth grade, I was 5'9". And that was like April. By the time September came in sophomore year, I was 6'3". So within 6 or 7 months, I went from 5'9 to 6'3". So I grew quick, but I didn't gain any weight. I was the same weight still. When I went to Fork Union, when I was a senior in high school, I was 16 years old, and I turned 17 in December. So one of my, you know, close family friends said that, you know, maybe I should think about prep school so I can get another year, get some maturity. I was a senior, I went to Pitt. I was recruited for football as well, and I went down to University of Pittsburgh for a visit, and my tour guy was Ironhead Hayward.
No kidding.
And he's about 245-pound halfback. And I was a 180-pound receiver. So I said that day was the last day I decided I was going to never play football again. When I saw him running over people and all those big guys, I said, I'm thinking I'm going to play basketball. And then I went to Fork Union to get an extra year, mature. And that's when everything kind of began to blossom for me. I was only being recruited by, like, some small Division II schools. A lot of people thought I can play Division I. I didn't know the difference at the time. I just wanted to play and have fun, go to college. And I went to Fork Union, and my eyes were opened up to a bigger world. Had an opportunity to be recruited to go to Bucknell, which is a Division I school, and the rest was history from there.
And while you were at Bucknell, you set numerous school and conference records. The one of only three freshmen to start under the 30-year head coach, Charlie Woolham, right?
Yes, yes. I was just had a story the other day. We're talking about it. First day of practice, coach calls out the starting lineup, and he says, you know, Mike Joseph, you know, Greg Leggett, and he's like, Michael Bright. And I'm standing on the sideline, and some of my freshman roommates was like, he called you. I was like, what? Starting first day of practice. So I went out there, and the coach was like, Mike, just follow the rest of them, and you'll catch on. And, you know, I started every game, you know, so I was a blessing, you know, to even have that opportunity.
And when you were in prep school, you were under legendary coach Fletcher Arrow. What was that like?
Wow. You're talking about knowledge, respect. I mean, this man was a throwback to the 1950s, 60s coaches, but everyone knew him. I mean, if you talk to any, you know, Roy Williams, you know, Mike Krzyzewski, and any of those guys, you know, they knew who he was. And he was a hard-nosed, you know, coach, but demanded the best of you. He was so old school. He said, Michael Bright, this is like first day of practice, you're averaging 10 points, 8 rebounds for the whole year. He said, I don't care what you do. That's what's going to be in the stat book, because I don't care about stats. Your position of a two guard, that's what you're averaging. And that was it. Mm. So I could have had 40 points in a game. I had 10 points that game. It didn't matter. But that's just kind of how he was. He just wanted the best of you. And he put a lot of people in Division I and other colleges because of his tenacity to bring out the best in you.
We're speaking with the Bright family here on Sports Jam. Michael, I wanted to ask you, because you brought up Ironhead Hayward. Some people have told me he may have been the best high school football player in New Jersey ever.
That's what they say. I mean, I could tell you he was probably the biggest. Never seen a running back that big do what he did on the football field. He literally scared me out of playing football.
One lone running back is Craig Hayward. Hayward gets the call. The 260-pounder is slowed up by Dave Butler. In fifth, they have it at their own 30-yard line. 13:25 to play first quarter. This is a big bull, Hayward, who carries Notre Dame tacklers over the 40 to the 41-yard line, where he'll have a first down.
I went to Pitt, North Carolina State, and never forget it. He came around the edge, jumped over the cornerback, landed, hit the safety, ran him over, and ran like 60 yards for a touchdown. I told my dad, I said, Dad, I'm not playing football.
And, of course, he went on to have a pretty nice pro career. And now his son is obviously playing as the nose tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers for quite some time. So the legend continues when it comes to that family, the Hayward family. Your family has been one that has given you great joy. And, Devin, when it comes to your time at DePaul Catholic, you know, and let's go to 2015. I mean, obviously there were many times you were in the zone. Can you take us into one of those games that you were in the zone?
I think we just came back. Me and my dad came back from New York, and I just got a new haircut. Yeah. I think that was what made me cut fire the haircut, because I had like 40 points that game, so.
I like how you threw out, oh, you kind of had like 40 points. 40 points is like an amazing night.
Yeah, yeah.
But for you, was it just?
I was just making my shot. I was feeling it. I guess I warmed up great. I guess I was feeling great with the new haircut. So I got the same haircut every game after that.
So you're a little superstitious?
Yeah, a little bit.
Tell us about what you're doing right now.
Right now I'm taking classes at Essex County. I'm just taking a year off of basketball so I can finish out next year in a better situation.
What are your goals for hoops?
As far as it could take me, to be honest with you.
What do you think is the best part of your game?
It could, between, I guess, my defense and shooting.
A lot of people don't say defense first, so it's nice to hear that. And I'm sure coaches like to hear that too, don't they?
Yeah. I think a lot of coaches would agree that I'm a pretty decent defender.
So do you remember a time where you doubted your abilities and did dad or even your younger brothers give you confidence?
Well, I think I doubted my game when I was younger. I wasn't really that good starting out. There was a time where I was actually going to quit basketball, and I talked to my father about it, and he told me, you know, you got to work harder. If this is what you really want to do, you got to put in the work. And when he told me that, I thought about it, and I said, you know what, I'm not really giving it, you know, all my all. Maybe I should, you know, focus on working on other things of my game than just shooting. You know, I got to work on dribbling. I got to work on, you know, my athleticism, stuff like that. So I started taking, you know, my workouts and stuff pretty serious after that.
You remember that conversation, Dan?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. No, we had a conversation. I always try to push them. And I always tell them, you know, from my experience, that, you know, the best players, especially in basketball, you can break it down by quarters, by minutes. And you can be a scoring champ if you just break the game down to 2-minute cycles. You score a basket every 2 minutes, you're going to average 22 points a game. It's pretty simple. Just make one basket every 2 minutes. But I think what really clicked for Devin was when he started lifting, and the game, I think, became a lot easier to him. And so when he became the strongest person on the court and the most conditioned person, the last part of every game, he would get 10 to 12 points in the last quarter, which propelled him to be, you know, one of the state leading scorers, you know, literally carrying his team on his back at times to win games in a very tough, you know, Big North conference with Boscos and Bergens. And but I think at that point he realized he was almost like a man amongst boys when it came to his physique, and that really gave him a lot of confidence to, you know, take his game to the next level, which would have been, you know, college.
Devin, when you're like the stud on the basketball court, does that transfer to the hallways of the school? Were you allowed to do what you wanted to do?
No. I'm very humble when it comes to, you know, stuff outside off the court.
Didn't hurt though, right?
You sometimes enjoy it, you know. You know, the
attention.
Yeah, I guess the attention, right? It comes with it, you know. So you just gotta enjoy it.
And then you went to Felician University. Tell us about your time there.
I had a decent freshman year, I believe. I didn't play much. You know, most freshmen don't, starting in a new program. But towards the end of the season, I became a starter as a freshman, and I had a few really good games where I was the leading scorer.
Hard to do, hard to break into a lineup as a freshman. Why do you think you were able to do that?
I started actually watching other players on my team, to be honest, the older players, and seeing how much they worked out and just watching their game and trying to, you know, take little things from their game and add it to mine so I could, you know, grow as a player.
Those who are out there listening to this Sports Jam edition with the Brights, Devin, tell us how much of a transition is it from being a just top-notch high school player and going to play at the next level college, whether it be Division I, Division II, Division III? It's an adjustment, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a big step. I think, you know, a lot of guys, they see Division II ball and they don't think it's that as competitive, you know, as the big Division I's, you know, like Seton Hall or Rutgers. But I think with college in general, it's a big step. I mean, it's college. It's the next level. So it's like my dad said, it's a weeding process.
Sitting next to you is Michael Jr. Michael Jr., you have succeeded just about in every kind of level possible when it comes to your sports career in football and also basketball, too. What do you like? Obviously, you like football better, but why did you play basketball? Because some people choose, that's it, I'm football, and I don't want to play any other sport. There's always that question. Sometimes coaches want you to stay away from the other sports. What was your thought process?
I played basketball with the football mentality of just hustling and playing defense. That was about it. I really didn't have any offensive skill like that besides just drive and go for a layup.
Get out of my way kind of thing, right?
I really decided to only play football when I went to St. Anthony's. With it being a dominant basketball school, every day was either practice or a game, and it really tested if I loved the game or not. But
kind of says something though about your ability though. But if you played at St. Anthony's, then you had some skills.
I mean, if I had skills, it really didn't show. Me being a 6 foot center going up against, you know, 6'10" freshmen from like Christ the King and all that, and just getting babied down there. It wasn't fun.
He's being a little modest. He was okay.
Yeah, he had to be. There's no. He wouldn't have been on the team to begin with. But tell us about football now. What's your ultimate goal in this game?
Well, a lot of football players have the aspiration of, you know, going to the league and making it big. Honestly, that's not my goal. If it happens, then great. I mean, I'm all for it. But really, I've been through a lot of teams and organizations. I've seen how it's done from the Pop Warner level to high school, and I just want to give back to it. So my goal is to have football be the platform to give me a free education so that I can become a coach myself and do the little things that brings players to college and bring them to the pros. 'Cause I've seen what's good and what works, and I've seen what entirely breaks down a player and they don't make it out anywhere.
Tell us about your school in Connecticut that you're involved with now.
Right now I attend a Hotchkiss boarding school in Connecticut. It's a very prestigious school. When you hear a kid goes to Harvard, you're like, oh my God, they're so great, they're blessed. But then when they send 15 of them to Harvard and 20 more to Yale, it's just religious almost, less a ritual. So it's a very prestigious academic, but I'm trying to show them that athletics can be a strong suit, too.
Were grades important to you?
Oh, definitely. I mean,
who installed that, Mom or Dad?
Oh, definitely Mom. I mean, I come home with a B. My dad's like, yeah, great job. All right. Mom, she was like, why do you got a B? Where's the A's, you know? And with her being a teacher, she knows the importance of academics.
Let me ask you, Marlon, as once again, the youngest, right? That's how you're always going to be referred to, right?
Yes.
But maybe you'll surpass everybody when it comes to an athletic career, including your dad. Has there been pressure on you already to live up to your brothers and your dad? Be honest with us.
A lot of pressure.
How do you deal with it?
Just go out and show it. On the field, I show that the pressure really doesn't mean that much to me, though.
How much time do you spend of your day on athletics?
Well,
That means training, that means lifting. How much do you put in on an average day?
Probably 2 hours football practice. Unless my dad puts me in training programs, like, I'll go lift for an hour with training people. Like, over the summer, or when I get back in December from Florida, I'm going to be in many different type of programs. I'm going to be doing track. I'm going to do weightlifting with two different programs. I'll be able to go to Planet Fitness, and I'll still be able to do practice.
You mean YMCA, son? I'm the president of the Y. You better say YMCA.
That's right. How much time do you spend at the Y?
Well, when I do go to the Y, I'll be there most of the day. I'll just either be in the back or be upstairs playing basketball.
Are you a gamer? Do you play those video games?
Yes, I play video games.
Does that help you? You know, nobody really knows the power of that, but we know a lot of pro athletes are gamers. Has it helped you at all in learning any of the games or just for fun?
Just for fun.
Okay, good answer. He learns how to take losses.
Yeah. Your brothers are gamers too, then?
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
And you, and Michael, you don't have any mercy on Marlon, then, I would imagine.
Of course not.
they can't give him no leeway because he would not stop talking about it. He's still talking about wins from 2 years ago.
Yeah, take us. Do you guys get together for dinner a lot?
Yes.
What do you talk about outside of sports? Devin?
Our day.
Basically our day, you know. When I'm out on when I'm out on campus at school, I come back and usually have dinner. We always eat out as a family, though. So, we eat out almost every night.
Where do you go?
Where haven't we gone, to be honest?
But you know, it's very nice to hear, though, that the family is out having dinner, you know, because that used to be a norm, Devin, but no longer because of schedules, and mom and dad both have to work a lot, you know, and kids are home. So, I mean, obviously that has really helped you guys build as a family to be able to have a time to sit down and just talk about what you said. How was your day? Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
What do you think was the most intense conversation you've had at a restaurant?
Intense? About,
yeah. One that maybe got a little bit, just was a serious conversation. What would be a serious conversation between the Brights at a restaurant? May have been grades. It may have been.
Yeah, grades, you know.
Don't pick on Marlon, maybe.
Right, right. Or, you know, who's that girl that was over the house or stuff like that.
Marlon, do you get a lot of advice about women and girls from your brothers already? Are you popular among the gals at the school?
Someone's turning red.
you want to give a shout out to anybody special?
Nah.
No, not yet.
He said they're just friends.
This is a special edition of Sports Jam. We're talking to the Bright family. Michael C. Bright has had a long, tremendous career, not only with sports but also with the Newark YMCA. Why do you do it? Why do you run the Y?
That's a great question, Doug. I run it because it gives me an opportunity to fulfill what I believe is my passion and my purpose. I entered the Y 25 years ago, not knowing what I wanted to do in life. I had just came back from playing professional basketball overseas. My wife, their mother is a teacher in Newark and was teaching then. I thought I wanted to be a teacher. And long story short, I was introduced to the Y, and I figured, okay, I'll just do this until I figure out what I wanted to do. And within literally a month of working there, I said, this is my calling, to work with kids and give back and to make sure kids like myself had an opportunity. And I say this because, and I grew up in a small steel town south of Pittsburgh. Everyone was poor. I was the only African-American student to graduate from college from my class. I wasn't the only one that went, but I was the only one that graduated at the time. And that was eye-opening because I wasn't special, but there was caring adults in my life that made sure I made right decisions. You know, I have friends who, you know, who were killed, or friends who were in jail, and that kind of stuff. And it was like, wait a second, I wasn't different, but I have people in my life that cared and helped open doors for me. And I just wanted to be able to do that. And the Y was a vehicle to do that. And when I found out I can do it on a grander scale and impact more lives, it was just the calling.
You almost got to the top of the basketball world. You had the opportunity to play in the NBA preseason rookie league as a member of the Charlotte Hornets, drafted in the third round of the CBA, the Continental Basketball Association, by the Rockford Lightning. And then after a stay in the CBA, you played in the Hong Kong Professional Basketball Association as a member of C-Power. So you were just right there at the cusp. Do you look back on that in a positive, or do you look back and say, boy, I wish this might have happened or whatnot?
No, I'm not a coulda, woulda, shoulda kind of guy. I mean, everything happens for a reason. I was always pretty much the most athletic person on the court through all the levels. When I got to the NBA, everyone could run, everyone could jump, everyone was fast, everyone could shoot. The difference was the work ethic in the weight room, and I had none. I had no work ethic in the weight room.
Why is that?
I never needed it. I never had to develop it. I was always more talented than whoever I stepped on the court with. I didn't even stretch, even in college. I just waited for the game start, and I go out and do my thing. Well, the next level, like I always tell my sons, and that's probably based on my experience, every level is a weeding out process. And it was just my time to be weeded out because I didn't develop the habits to get to that next level. Everyone has the skills. It's do you have the habits? And that kind of was probably the only when it came to that. But I was overseas. I did very well. I made a couple all-star teams over in Asia. I still can play, but that's another level. You know, I always tell people, and they would say, oh, so-and-so stinks. You know, they sit the bench for the Knicks. That person can really play.
Sure.
Can really play. There's a difference between Michael Jordan and that 12th person on the team. There's a huge gap. But trust me, that 12th person can really play.
I'm curious about playing in Hong Kong. What was that like?
Oh, it was like really playing here. When I was in Hong Kong, the league allowed three, what they call foreign players, to play. So basically, most every team had three to four Americans on the team. One team picked most of their players from Russia. That was sort of like the beginning of the Dirk Nowitzkis and all those 7-foot three-point shooters. But it was fun. I mean, it was some of the guys I knew from UNLV were out there, and a lot of the college guys that were like me, didn't make the league but was really good and kind of were known a little bit, and we had a chance to compete at and they paid us to do it, and people came out to watch us, so it was fun.
Did you have trouble with the language at all?
No, my team, they gave us translators and a tour guide. So every time we went somewhere, we had someone there to take us through. So, and plus, English was, spoken a lot there. So we didn't have to really, I lived in Hong Kong. So it was, like Manhattan, basically.
Now, when you were a member of the preseason rookie league with the Charlotte Hornets, can you give us a comparison, somebody in today's game that's Michael Bright?
Oh, gosh. Today's game. Well, I know one thing. They knew I was a rookie because every time I touched the ball, I would slam dunk it. And they kept saying, you must be a rookie. And I didn't know what they meant because that was only warm-ups. By the time we started practicing, I was so tired. So that kind of clicked them. I would say I probably had a game like, wow. That's a tough one, Doug. I don't know. I really don't know. I could shoot. I could run. I could jump. I was definitely an outside player. I was not an inside player at all.
Who's our favorite we'll start with you this time, Michael. Who's your favorite football player? Anybody that you say, if I could play like him, I would do that?
Are you asking who's my favorite all time, or just like who do I model myself after?
I'm going to let you answer both.
All time has to be Troy Polamalu.
Make it to the 42 for the first. Picked off Polamalu. Palomalu going right. The field is open. Aaron Smith shields. Flacco. Palomalu takes it home.
I mean, my favorite Steeler. Steelers, my team.
I knew I liked you, Michael. I knew I liked you a lot.
But who I think I model my game after the most probably be Jason Taylor.
Two terrific guys to model your career after. Devin, who would you say is your favorite hooper through all time, and or somebody today that you like to think about?
I like watching a lot of guys play. I like Klay Thompson's game, Kevin Durant, Kyrie. Those are probably the three I like to watch the most.
Irving. Oh, what a move. Kyrie Irving. Mesmerizing.
Kyrie Irving is so good.
Have you had a chance to play with Kyrie anytime?
No. I know he's from Jersey, but I don't think I would enjoy it too much. Yeah.
I hear he goes, he makes stops like at Montclair State University and plays with the guys and never shoots, you know, just distributes the basketball and has a good time. I've always heard positive things about Kyrie.
He's been very, very generous, very nice.
Okay, it's your turn, Marlon. Who is your favorite? You can say dad if you want, but who's your favorite person that maybe you watch in what sport?
Probably my favorite person or player of all time will probably be Jerome Bettis.
You know, I know I liked you from the very time you came in here.
Thing is, I'm not a Steelers fan.
Well, I liked you for a moment. And then after you said that, then, you know, why Jerome? Why the bus?
Well, because I always liked trucking. Like in video games and in real life, I always liked making people fall to the ground with my body. And Jerome Bettis, that's what he did.
Did you ever see Jerome Bettis, ever see a film of him when he played at Notre Dame?
No.
You need to watch a couple of those bowl games against Florida and teams like that. You would appreciate to know how fast he really was at one point, despite his huge size. He was a pretty fast guy. The guy that amazed me when I watched anybody playing was Herschel Walker. Because Herschel could run like the wind, but yet his body was cut. And he didn't lift weights either, did he, Michael, Dad?
No, just push-ups and sit-ups every day.
And he was bullied, right? Herschel was bullied at one point, and that's why he eventually started to do that. He's an amazing story, too. My favorite player, by the way, of all time, if you're going to go for anything, would be the Pirates catcher Manny Sanguin, and you probably have never heard of him. But he played with the great Roberto Clemente and was supposed to be on that plane with Roberto that went down. He's my favorite of all time. All-time favorite Steeler probably would be Mike Webster, the center. Give a little shout-out to you, Marlon, having an offensive lineman as my favorite player. But I will tell you a story about Franco Harris.
Bradshaw running out of the pocket. Downfield, and there's a collision. That's caught out of the air. The ball is pulled in by Franco Harris. Harris is going for a touchdown for Pittsburgh. 5 seconds left on the clock. Franco Harris pulled in the football. I don't even know where it came from.
Franco Harris played for Rancocas Valley here in New Jersey. And this goes out to you, Marlon, because this is about practice. When I went down to call a game between Rancocas Valley and I believe it was Tom's River, one of the teams there in the playoffs, I went down on the field and I asked everybody. I said, does anybody remember Franco? Nobody could say anything. I went up, threw my headset down in the booth, and I said, doesn't anybody know anything about Franco Harris? And a voice came from my right and said, what would you like to know? And I said, everything. It was his coach. And his coach said the very first day of practice as a freshman, Franco didn't show up for the first day of a two-a-day. Okay, he was there in the afternoon practice. Next day, did not show up for morning practice. Came to the evening practice, looked pretty good. Coach walked over, it was only about two houses away from the field where the Harrises lived, and he rapped on the door. And his mom, who was an Italian woman, answered the door, and he said, Mrs. Harris, why isn't Franco coming to the morning two-a-days? My son, he needs his sleep. And he said, well, you better tell your son he better get his butt out on the football field or he's never going to play for me. never missed another practice, went 80 yards for a touchdown the first time he touched the ball. Coach took him to Penn State, and Joe Paterno said, "You and Lydell Mitchell will be my starting running backs for the next 4 years." They were. And then he went on to have a Hall of Fame career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I tell you this, Marlon, because this means you cannot miss another practice the rest of your life.
Mm.
How do you like that?
Wow.
You're going to make that commitment before Dad right now that you will never miss practice?
I'll never miss practice.
I got that on tape.
We have it on tape for everybody. Michael?
Well, for anyone who doesn't know, my parents, mom and dad, were always there for us. And no matter if it was 5 degrees out and we were getting blown out by 50, or if you weren't even touching the field or the court, they were always there cheering you on. And that's one thing that not too many people can say, to have both parents there for them. But even my brothers, when they come to the game, they're always cheering me on, regardless of the situation.
Do you play better when your family's there?
I wouldn't say I play better, but there's more pressure. For if I make a mistake, it's going to be a long car ride home.
You'll definitely hear it from the stands. Hear that one voice, and I think we know where that voice comes from.
And was that annoying, Devin?
Annoying? When I was younger, it was annoying, but as I got older, I learned, you know, to just tune out the crowd anyway. You learn how to do that.
I was just
you have
the
to
crowd.
Learn how to do it. Yeah.
Devin, you come from an athletic family. Are athletes born or athletes molded?
I think a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. As far as with me, I don't think I was always the best athlete, but I developed into the athlete I am now. You know, a very high level athlete. I think the same thing with my brother Michael. Michael was, he was a skinny 5'8" kid, and now he's 6'5", 220. He's a beast right now. And watching him play, you can see it.
Do you like that phrase, beast, Michael?
Beast.
I believe beast is more for a little bright over here.
Oh, little compliment for Marlon.
There was a point which will soon return where he had the nickname IHOP. For the fact that every game, every play, he would pancake someone. So we had to call him IHOP.
I like that. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about watching Devin play?
I don't recall much for football-wise because it's been so long.
How about on the hardwood?
But on the hardwood, Devin, if he was lights out, he was shooting lights out. Now it's hard to see him miss, especially at DePaul. He was like a linebacker playing point guard compared to the other guys, so there was no missed layups. He was always finishing everything. And defensive-wise, he was pretty much locked down. I mean, he was one of those kids where if someone had a star player, they would just put Devin on him, and then they'd just see how it goes from there.
Do you remember a certain game, Devin, at DePaul Catholic that, you know, you smile about when you think about?
I had a lot of games to smile about. I can't really put one. I think my favorite
Now, don't give me that. Don't give me that answer.
I think my favorite game would be against probably. I think we played West Milford High School. I definitely had about 30 something points, but I don't think I missed that whole game, and it was effortless at that point because I whatever I threw up was gonna go in. So,
what was your favorite move?
My favorite move?
Yeah, favorite, you know, where on the court were you unstoppable?
I think driving to the basket, getting into the rim was just effortless to me because I was so strong and I'm quick too, so it was just hard to keep in front of me.
And give me, when you were playing at DePaul Catholic, what was your size?
I was about 6 foot.
So you had to have some major ups, right? You had to get up in the air pretty good if you're driving.
My dad doesn't think I have, you know, much ups, but I get up a little bit.
That is not true. He's about 6'1" and can do almost any dunk. He can jump. Now, I used to always kid him because I could never let them believe that they can outdo me, but that was sort of a motivation for them to keep trying.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Ever outdo you? Did you play a lot of one-on-one games with your sons?
Yeah, when they was young, and I know I could beat them.
Yeah, he doesn't want those challenges now. We try to set it up, but
so what?
It's a rain
what,
check every time.
Do you know what age he was, Devin, that he stopped thinking he could beat you guys in like actual games?
Around maybe 13. That's about fair.
Oh, I think he that's stopped not
too bad. Yeah,
right. 13.
Yeah,
I don't know about 13.
Oh, 13.
At least for me, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, once I started getting some size, and he couldn't really just back me down easily.
Exactly. That's all he got now.
I can still beat Marlon.
But that's Marlon.
I'm also 12.
That's Marlon. That's Marlon, though.
That's okay. Marlon. I can still beat Marlon. I tore my Achilles this summer, which ended it all for all of it.
Oh, yeah, but right now I could beat you.
But me and Michael wrestled about 2 or 3 years ago, and I realized I had to do dad strength on him. I was saying, he's pretty strong. And Devin in basketball, I probably gave up on him at least 4 or 5 years ago. I knew I couldn't. I could do like horse. I could beat them all in horse. But basketball, I couldn't beat him.
All you do is shoot.
But I can still shoot.
That's all I said. That's what I said.
But I can shoot good.
Yeah. Hey, he still has to have confidence, guys. You know, dad can't give up that. He still, you know.
When we watch him play in his leagues, yeah, he could definitely shoot. It was surprising at times to see him out there shooting from half court.
Do you have film of him doing all that?
No, I don't. It's all up here.
It's all up there,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I remember, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I saw my brother over the weekend, and I told him I remember more about his high school days on the court than my days because I can still smell the gym. I can see his short little shorts they used to have back in the 70s, right? And I remember the Black Panther, for we were the Franklin Regional Panthers. I can tell just about everybody on his team. I couldn't even maybe name all the guys on my team. But it's amazing how some of those things can stay in your mind, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just good memories you have.
Michael, tell us about what you think you will need to do over the next next couple of years to maybe, like you said, you might not want to play at a professional level or whatnot. But what would satisfy you as far as your athletic career at this point?
Well, with me and my impending signing for Bucknell University and heading up there.
Okay, see, I didn't know that.
I've been offered and I'm verbally committed to Bucknell. I plan to sign on National Signing Day in February. But my goal is to just go out there and ball. You know, my dad's up there on all the records for basketball. I want to do the same for football.
Isn't that fantastic? Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's the dad. What did that mean? That Bucknell is going to be on his resume?
I tell you, I had nothing to do with that at all. But it's all about their interest and their desires. And Bucknell's a great school, incredible school, great athletics. I personally believe Michael, you know, if he stays on this path and does what he has to do in the classroom and on the field, I believe he can join me in the Hall of Fame. He's that type of athlete.
Wow, pretty high praise. How do you feel about that, Michael? The gauntlet's been kind of set there for you.
I mean, it feels great to hear that from my dad, but I feel like on the inside he's hurting because the Bright they're going to remember is going to be me.
Oh, jeez.
So,
wow.
I'm glad we play different sports. So.
See, you only hear the truth here on Sports Jam. You got a long way to go, Marlon, before you have to worry about where you're going to college. But take us on a day that you don't play sports. What are you doing?
Probably be at home playing video games or be outside.
How about the arts? Do you sing? Do you play an instrument? Anything like that? Do you dance?
I just started playing an instrument.
What kind of instrument?
Double bass.
Nice. Do you ever listen to jazz?
A little bit.
Does dad, it's dad's responsibility, you know, because he knows about this radio station. He's got to introduce you. Let's ask Devin and Michael, any jazz in the offing for you guys?
I don't know about jazz, but I definitely have a nice repertoire of old music.
Nice.
A whole lot.
Michael's an old soul.
Yeah.
Teddy Pendergrass.
Devin, how about what kind of music you listen to?
I listen to a lot of hip-hop and R&B.
Which means that there's jazz influence in there.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, definitely. Like with Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, they like to use, you know, jazz in their production.
Has Dad ever told you anything about WBGO?
No, he told us last week we were going to be on this show.
Yeah, that's it, right? That's a lot. That's the first time you heard about it. Thanks, Dad.
They will know a lot more now.
That's great.
But it is programmed on my radio, on the car.
So they are getting a chance to hear it. Whether they like it or not, well, we'll see. Now, as you look at this trio here, Dad, if they weren't involved in sports, would that have mattered to you?
Oh, not at all. I mean, from day one, it's always been about, you know, their health and happiness. That's the only things that matter to me. As long as they're happy, I'm good.
Best day in the Bright family to this point?
Any day we're all together, just like now. This is perfect.
What a great answer. Michael C. Bright, Devin, Michael Jr., and Marlon, it's been a pleasure sitting down and chatting some sports and talking about some memories with all of you. You got a great dad. I know you know that. So congratulations on your individual careers and much success to the three of you onward. And for Dad, always great to see you here. And thanks for joining us on Sports Jam. Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the shows by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on NPR's list of podcasts. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.